Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. I watched the Netflix documentary, Malice in the Palace. I was telling Joy this during the break. Joy Taylor, for those on radio listening, on TV, you can see Joy, of course, that the players, Steven Jackson, Meta World Peace, Jermaine O'Neal, came across as very reflective, remorseful, reflective. It affected their lives. They felt bad about it. You could sense that. It was meaningful. And that says a lot about human beings. When you look back and mature and go, wow, that I have remorse. Yet the fan they interviewed was still a schmuck. Mm-hmm. Those guys are and it's like some people don't have the ability to change. A schmuck at 24 is a schmuck at 44. The fan they talked to had never grown. Still on the players. No growing up. The players, who, by the way, had people throwing stuff. When you watch the Netflix documentary and you see the footage.
It hurt my spirit to see how people were behaving.
It's awful. It's the worst of America. The players, more remorseful for the whole moment, felt bad, and not only for themselves, felt bad for the league. Jermaine O'Neal's like, I love basketball. I hurt the league. They felt remorseful beyond their own self-interest. The guy they interviewed, calling the player a name.
I thought all the fans that were on it sounded terrible. Even at the end, so you're just like, yeah, the fans have an investment. Like, no, you don't.
You're watching
entertainment. You, personally, you would be replaced by the next fan who would happily pay for that ticket.
Yeah.
You do not have a right to behave however you want because you are in a building.
Some people do not have the ability to grow. Like what they are at 24, party boy, is party boy at 34, still has a crappy job, party boy at 44, never gets better. The players all have grown as human beings.
Well, they also had to suffer the consequences of that night. None of the fans, well, you know, one of the guys, the one that threw the chair,
John Green.
But
well, yeah,
no,
that guy too.
Like real consequences when he got probation. Like he did not suffer for a decade. He was not forbidden to talk about it because of lawyers and suspended and losing millions of dollars. Like they didn't really suffer. The fans didn't suffer any consequences. The people that suffered were the players, and they have remorse for it because they had to go through that experience for a long time. And you heard all of them like, we're done talking about this.
Yeah,
now.
No, I mean it is interesting to watch how same moment. One group of people had remorse, understood the big picture. The other group is still like, nah, it just happened, man. Yeah, I party when I go to games. It's like,
because it didn't really affect their lives.
Yeah. That's
what the lack of consequences do. It makes you feel entitled.
Yeah, I mean, the fans who are, if you go to a sporting event and throw stuff, you're never going to be a titan of American commerce. Like, your ceiling's pretty low for success, so you're still living that life.
And it's always somebody who's not involved in the situation that ruins it for everybody. We just saw it at the Rams game this weekend.
Some woman throws a gigantic Coke and starts a brawl. You know, folks, we want to love you, but some of you we don't love. There's about 2% of fan bases where you watch that Netflix, you watch them throwing stuff. It's just
gross. Well, I don't even think it's the fan base. I just think it's Detroit fans are great sports fans. I think it's a lack of intelligence and entitlement.
Yeah.
What makes you think you are entitled to behave that way?
Bad.
Who told you that?
We're calling right, calling wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. They got a new grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss. Delicious. Try it. Jersey Mike's be a sub above, and here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, we predicted Jordan Love would look very good because the Packers would groove his start to look good because they've taken so much pushback on drafting him. You know, safe throws, screen passes, his only touchdowns on a screen pass, 12 for 17. You know, he got dinged up a little. First series looked a little anxious. But in the end, that's a nice throw. That was a very nice throw. This is a good team. It's well run. And I thought they made it easy for him, as easy as you can. Now, Houston's awful, so it's a great first team to play. That may be the worst roster outside of Jacksonville in the NFL. But we thought he would look good, and he did look good.
Where Colin was wrong.
Mac Jones looked better than we thought. He came across as the highest graded passer of the weekend. And as we've said, like, he's not a playmaker, but New England felt he would be a good fit. And he does look like a good fit for them. He's got nice feet, gets rid of the ball quickly. We always said he's an accurate thrower. New England is not asking him to save the franchise like Justin Fields is in Chicago or Trevor Lawrence is in Jacksonville. What they're asking him to do are a series of things that Mac Jones can do really well. I thought he looked very comfortable, so I'll take the wrong there.
Where Colin was right.
I watched Hard Knocks on HBO. I never bought into this Mike McCarthy. I'm Mr. Analytics Guru. I'm progressive. I've changed the way I think. I think he comes off as a coaching cliche. He swears too much. The rah-rah speeches feel like high school, quoting Austin Powers to 22-year-old kids who never saw the movie. I'll say it again with Mike McCarthy. He's probably a great guy. But they've won a lot of football games since he left Green Bay, and I thought last year was a bit of a miss because he hired the wrong defensive coordinator, and watching Hard Knocks does not give me the feeling. And you could say, you're just watching Hard Knocks. What does it mean? The last six coaches on Hard Knocks, one has come across as super bright, Sean McVay. That's the winningest one. If they got cameras around you or me for weeks, they're going to tell you the truth about somebody. Sean McVay looked really smart when the cameras were around him for a month. The other five coaches have not looked as smart. There's a reason. The camera don't lie.
Where Colin was wrong.
USA basketball did eventually win gold. Now, I thought they would get to the championship game and lose in overtime to France. Instead, they beat France narrowly, but they beat him. They won five straight after the opening loss. We all probably overreacted to those losses, the exhibition losses in Vegas. Listen, by and large, I try to, if I make a mistake, make it on the mistake of open-mindedness. And I keep saying, listen, the world is catching up. They are, but let's be honest. Some of the really good centers are European, but when it comes to point guards and wings and scorers, we got way better players, and there's nothing really close. In fact, Luka is one of the few in my lifetime where you're like, oh, there's a guard that can hang with our guards and score on them. So, I mean, Kevin Durant's too good for most, you know, our guys. Our talent is still a clear. I mean, we're throwing guys together who are worn out from the season, who haven't played together. We give them 2 weeks in Vegas, and they go win gold. Let's be honest about American basketball. Most of the world's talent is here.
Where Colin was right.
Tom Brady started in preseason game number one, and Bruce Arians played lots of starters. Why? This is what we've predicted the last couple of weeks. When winners enter a losing environment and win, they want to make sure guys don't get content and go back to their losing ways. And all you've heard in the preseason is Brady throwing helmets and screaming and yelling, and all you've heard is Bruce Arians dog cussing players. Why? Because they won the Super Bowl. And when you've never had success and you experience a lot of success quickly, the natural progression is take your foot off the gas. And so it's not a surprise that Arians is barking, critical, and Brady at least played a series in week one of preseason.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought when the NFL was playing musical chairs with cities, with Oakland and San Diego and St. Louis, I said, it's too much. It's too much chaos. Keep these teams mostly where they're at. But you know what? Vegas is a home run. Oakland wasn't good enough. St. Louis felt small. The LA Rams feel huge. And the Chargers have now reportedly blown past their season ticket sales in San Diego. In the end, the NFL was right. This league is not going to wait for hacky local politicians to get over their little tiny arguments. And San Diego politicians and Oakland politicians and St. Louis politicians, the NFL said, 24 hours, make a call. New stadium? Nope. See ya. And 3-for-3, they were right.
Where Colin was right,
Tim Tebow as a tight end got off to an embarrassing start. I'm not here to pick on him, but there was more than one piece of video that he was completely over his skis. I've always said this about Tebow. He's strong, but he's not quick. He's not fast. He's not twitchy. He's not that athletic. He's a double-A baseball player. He's not really an NFL quarterback. And he's certainly not, if you look at the advancement of the tight end position, he's not an NFL tight end. It's nothing against Tim Tebow. He's a great kid and a great story. Those of us who just say the truth, which is it didn't work at quarterback, it didn't work in baseball, and it doesn't look good here, we're not haters. If we're accurate, it's not hating. What it is fanboying if you keep believing he's a pro athlete. He's not. He'll get cut soon.
Where Colin was right.
Major League Baseball. There's nothing wrong with the sport. It just needs to get out of its own way and to tweak some things. NFL tweaks all the time. Soccer and baseball and hockey tweet all the time. I watch baseball. There's nothing wrong with it. But what they did at Field of Dreams was what they should have been doing for 10 years. Make it feel big. Make it feel fun. Make it feel lively. Make it feel like an event. It was a wonderful showcase on what baseball can be, which is what it was in the 70s and 80s. Characters and crazy players and showboating, Reggie Jackson yelling at his manager. Mayhem is fun. New stuff is fun. And Joe Buck's home run call was fun.
Anderson hits it in the air to right. Back at the wall, and the White Sox win it. Well, you can throw the party, but you never know how it's going to turn out.
It's unreal.
And how about six runs on the board in the ninth inning alone, and the White Sox with a walk-off 9-8 win. This was some kind of night for baseball.
Just lighten up. Try some new stuff. Nobody gets hurt. Big win for Major League Baseball. Great job by Fox that produced a really special event. Good to have you in today. I didn't do anything this weekend. I watched football. Eight. It was really lazy. It was a great lazy weekend. You know, some weekends, like next weekend, I got some stuff going on in Vegas and stuff. So next weekend, I'm doing stuff. Are you traveling next weekend, too?
I am, yeah.
Where are you going next weekend?
I'm going to Pittsburgh to see my great niece.
Have you ever traveled in the time zone you live in?
I don't do a lot of that, no. I don't. Look, I got a big family. I got to go see them before I get stuck here in L.A. for the football season, which I'm happy to be. But, you know, if I don't go see her, she's going to be 6 months old before I get to see her. I got to go.
Very good point.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
After an intensely personal face-to-face, what does John Cena have planned for the head of the table, Roman Reigns, the night before they clash for the championship at SummerSlam? The Summer of Cena continues. It's an all-new Friday Night SmackDown, live at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on Fox.
Somebody smart told me years ago something, and I put it in the back of my memory here, and it comes up once in a while, and I'll share it with you now. Don't demand absolute answers in life when you're staring at questions. Let stuff develop and breathe. A lot of us, I need an answer. Well, we just got a lot of questions we got to ask you before we give you an answer. Everybody, it's all about me. I need answers for me. Well, we got questions about you. Saw a guy on a cruise this weekend. He was screaming at the people because they wouldn't let him off the boat because he wasn't vaccinated. He wanted an answer. And they said, well, let's see the forms you filled out that all told you this was going to happen. He wanted an answer, but they had a lot of questions. Be careful about that. Chicago now demands an and I want Justin Fields to start. That offense is a bunch of questions. Offensive line. I've said before, this town had cranky Jay Cutler, swell Mitch Trubisky, and bizarrely paid Mike Glennon. And they are demanding Justin Fields play. It's a 7-10 football team. Fans want Justin Fields. I do. But the coaches are leaning Andy Dalton because he's played before. Do you really want Justin Fields on the road in the opener against the number one defense in the NFL, Aaron Donald and the Rams? You want Justin Fields in that game? I don't. Let Andy have that one. I like Matt Nagy. But the fans and the media are demanding some absolutes, and there's a million questions with this offense. Just think about this. This team finished 8-8 last year, and they were bleeding at the end of the year. Last 10 games, they went 3-7. Well, Colin, they got better in the draft. Actually, they had two picks in the first four rounds. They didn't really get better in the draft. They got Justin Fields. Well, free agency. No, they didn't do anything there either. So an 8-8 team with a front office I don't like. Not a big fan of their GM. Didn't get better in the draft. They got Justin Fields, but they didn't get better on the offensive line. They drafted a couple of guys who, you know, again, you're asking offensive line to come in out of college and dominate. No, that's not the way it works. Unless you're Quentin Nelson, guys need time. So, you know, everybody, you know, there was a quote. Matt Nagy had a quote after the game to Peter King. He said, if we play Justin early to satisfy our needs, that's not what's best for Justin. We're not going to ruin him and hurt the Bears. He goes, listen, right now, we got to do something that's going to be the best for the organization for 15 years. This is not about Matt Nagy winning games. He goes, I got to make sure Justin Fields is right. And that's probably why Matt Nagy's going to get a second job if he gets runs out of Chicago. He's respected. He's smart. He says the right stuff. But be very careful about demanding things, answers, when all you got's questions. Do we have a Nagy bite after the game, by the way?
I thought that Justin did a great job of worrying about today. And he played smart football. He made plays. And again, like what you just said, you know, it is preseason, and it's we all understand that there's variables involved in all that. But at the same point in time, if you said, hey, you go back and you look, is he doing what you want him to do? Absolutely.
No question he's talented. Now, does he roll out to the right the minute the first or second receiver is covered? Of course he does, because that offensive line's not very good, and he knows it. By the way, that offensive line for the Bears has been facing the Bears number ones in practice, and the Bears defensive front's good, and the Bears O-line isn't. So he knows what he's facing there. So he rolled out a little bit too much. I mean, he's very, like a lot of young quarterbacks who have succeeded in high school and college just taking off, that's what they do. I mean, Michael Vick said that. You can see Trey Lance do that. You could see Zach Wilson do that. When you're high school and college, every time you took off, good things happen. You get to the NFL, you're like, well, I'm going to take off. Good things happen. Maybe if you run like Lamar Jackson, but mostly it's a hit and miss proposition once you're asking everybody to peel off their route and go to the sidelines and you're on your own against the linebacker that can bench press Delaware. I thought Justin Fields looked really good and really exciting, and Miami doesn't give you anything over the top, so you got to take what they give you. He looked good, but just be careful what you demand here. This is a work in progress. All right, let's go from that. Let's go to Greg Jennings, 10 years in the NFL, couple of Pro Bowls. So by the way, I'm yammering on about Justin Fields. Let's pivot to Jordan Love. I like what I saw. I mean, I thought he was pretty good. What'd you take away from it?
I like what I saw. I think the Packers did a great job of making sure that he was able to feel comfortable and settled right away, giving him some short throws, check downs to some running backs. And then we saw the throw over the middle when he got covered too, the decision to go to the tight end, Jake Sternberger. Like, it decisive, great arm. We kind of knew those things, but was he going to have the presence? And it looked in first preseason play that all of those things aligned. Yeah. And so when you think about moving forward, he can only get better because he's going to be able to watch Aaron every single day and be in the classroom with him. And he's going to then be able to transfer that to the field of play for the next two preseason games because he's going to take majority of those reps. So I look for him to get more comfortable, more settled, for them to open the playbook up a little bit more, put a little bit more on his plate each and every week. And so I think he had a great first showing.
You know, it's interesting. Peter King had an article on Aaron Rodgers today, and it was kind of fascinating. And I've said this, you know, Andrew Luck had more in his life than football. Trevor Lawrence came out and said, football doesn't define my life. In the article, Aaron talks about, you know, I was 50-50 retire. I'd probably go to Europe, hang out, a lot of historic cities I haven't been to. And I thought to myself, as fans, we don't want to read that players have a life beyond football. When you were with young Aaron, was he the same way or was he more football? But he sounds now like, listen, I've accomplished a lot. I made a lot of money. I got a Super Bowl. You know, I was a 50-50 on I'm going to retire, but I love this game, so I came back. when I read that, I'm like, I could see where a fan was like, I want my guy to love football. I don't want him to go to Poland and Germany, and I don't want him to go to Europe. When you, the early Aaron that you knew, was he like that a little bit then too?
Honestly, he was more football driven, but you got to understand, and this is why Trevor Lawrence is so different, so unique, but a lot of players this generation are having the opportunity to see that there is more than just what is right in front of me, whether it's basketball, baseball, football. Their brand is giving them and providing them with so much more. But for guys like Aaron, yes, he was behind Brett. It was a grind. It was, I got to make sure that this is solidified. And so your attention, your focus is all in on that very thing. You have tunnel vision, what we like to call it. But then as you continue to make strides and progress and excel, you start to mature and you start to explore other opportunities and see that, you know what? Life is more than just where I am currently. It is going to be this for a season of my life, and then for the duration thereafter, something completely different. So let me start entertaining those things. So you, when you're younger, and this was Aaron's case, yeah, he was locked in. Didn't mean he didn't have other hobbies, but it was none more important than football, which is still, I believe, the case.
So, you know, you played the Bears. You know how crazy Chicago is. I mean, I guess of all the quarterbacks, I was most excited to see Justin Fields play because I don't think Trey Lance going to open the season. I think the ceiling for Mac Jones is fairly low. I like Trevor Lawrence, but they're not going to win a lot of games. I think Zach Wilson's interesting, but that division's really good. And then I watched Justin Fields, and I'm like, you know, there's something there. I mean, he's comfortable. He's got all the things that you'd want, right? And now it's the struggle about, we're going to play him. When do we play him? What did you take away from his performance? What was your overall feel for it?
He's their guy. He is their guy. And I think for me, because I know Matt Nagy, because I understand what he wants to get done and what he was not able to do offensively as far as the playbook, we saw last year they had to move the pocket rapidly all the time because of Mitchell Trubisky and his strengths. Outside the pocket, he wasn't really a pocket presence guy. Even if the pocket was great, accuracy wasn't always there. Timing wasn't always there. There were always issues. So you always had to play to the strengths of your quarterback. With Justin Fields, it's like you look down at the plate, the call sheet, and it's like everything goes. Because he, you know, in the back of your mind, he can make it work. And I get it. The offensive line needs to be better. And I think they will be the more they understand and have a quarterback and believe that they have a quarterback that can get rid of the ball, that can make plays. You want to block. You want to. These guys aren't trying to get beat. And yes, they have a tall task week one. And so the do we want Justin Fields out there? Of course, because like I said, the players understand what he provides. The coaching staff understand what he provides. And in my opinion, more importantly, that defense. That defense who's had to carry this team for years, and they are not getting any younger. Like, you have to take advantage of the window you have these guys in their prime. And what time better than the present when you got a guy in Justin Fields who can really take on the reins and really handle every single situation?
Good stuff. Greg Jennings, Fox Sports. It's Monday. It's very busy at the Greg Jennings house. Go have fun. Good luck.
Appreciate it,
guys. You bet. Yeah. Listen, all this stuff is – I don't remember a preseason where I was more interested in watching the quarterback. I'll tell you, Indianapolis, now their offensive line right now is banged up. It's a mess. But Jacob Eason and Ehlinger, they looked capable. Now, I told you, I watched Jacob Eason play a ton in college at Washington. He's got a big arm. So I had buddies texting me. They're like, oh, my God. Like he's. I'm like, yeah. That was never the problem. Like, you know, where certain quarterbacks, like Jay Cutler's arm has never been the issue. Like Drew Locke, by the way, had a nice weekend. Drew Locke's arm isn't the issue. Jay Cutler's arm was never the issue. It's maturity. It's playing with urgency. It's being a leader. So when Drew Locke makes a big throw, Colin, he's got a great arm. That's never been the issue. It's like Teddy Bridgewater's the opposite. Maturity's never been the issue with Bridgewater. We know Teddy's mature. Somebody said, look at his maturity on the sideline. Yeah, I get that every day. With Teddy, you don't have the big arm. With Drew and Jay Cutler, I never question the talent. It's do you, same with Baker Mayfield. Baker's got a nice arm. I never question Baker's ability to throw a football. That is never the issue. Jameis Winston throws a nice ball. Every quarterback has something. Every successful quarterback has something. I should say this. Every unsuccessful quarterback who's in this league, even they have something I know I get every day. Drew Locke, Jacob Eason, Jay Cutler, the arm's not the issue. So don't run to social media going, did you see that throw? Jacob Eason made that throw 15 times a Saturday in college football. Can he cognitively go off script? Can he read defenses? That was the problem at Washington a little bit. That'll be the issue with the Indianapolis Colts. But like with Tua, I don't doubt his maturity. I just doubt his size and his arms and his escapability. Kyler Murray, I don't doubt his arm or his athleticism. My question is, can he play within an offense? He's so dominating as a physical, like Russell Wilson. Can Russell sometimes just stay in the pocket? Took him a long time to do that. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
It's almost like you have to be balanced to be successful.
Yeah.
Nobody's in the NFL because they're not talented at something.
Do you know how good? I think about this all the time. The idea that, like NBA, so like basketball, you don't have a lot of equipment. You don't have bats or hockey sticks. You don't need an ice rink. So soccer and basketball, the barrier to entry is pretty low. You can literally put a basket on a farm, on a barn, and shoot a basketball. I was in small town America. I literally had a basketball hoop. And so the barrier to entry to skiing is expensive, or golf expensive. But soccer and basketball. Does everybody understand how great you have to be to make the NBA? I don't care if you're the last guy off the bench. There's 360 Division I basketball programs. What about 20 guys a year from that? No. In basketball, the barrier to entry, you can be rich, you can be poor, you can be international. It's some of these sports are...
People do not, in fact, understand at all. At all.
To make... So when I criticize Mitch Trubisky, if Mitch Trubisky walked into our studio, big, thick, athletic, good-looking guy...
Yeah, he's being compared to his peers, not to us.
Like, Trubisky, if you went out in the parking lot here and he threw the football, we'd be like, amazing.
Yeah, he'd probably break your windshield if he threw it at him.
Right, so it's
that's not what we're comparing. We're not comparing what I'm going to do as a quarterback or what you're going to do as a quarterback.
The question,
what the other quarterbacks do.
I mean, the question with Tua is not, can he play in the NFL? He went 6-3 last year. The question is, in the AFC now, where you've got Baker, Josh Allen, Lamar, Justin Herbert, Mahomes, can you beat that? That's not that he can't play. Like, Tebow couldn't play. Tua can play. That's not the issue.
Yeah, it wasn't the best weekend for Tebow. So the Clippers have reportedly acquired veteran guard Eric Bledsoe from the Grizzlies. They will send Patrick Beverley, Rajon Rondo, and Daniel Otoru to Memphis in the deal. This will be Bledsoe's second stint with the Clippers. He was drafted by the team in 2010 and spent his first three seasons in L.A. This is mostly a money move. It saves the Clippers $30 million in luxury tax, and it creates $8.3 million traded player exemption that they will have a year to use, so it gives them some flexibility money-wise. Bledsoe's going into his 12th NBA season. He averaged 12.2 points, 3.4 rebounds, and 3.8 assists per game last season with the Pelicans. He was traded to the Grizzlies before the draft in July. So I think this is a good move overall money-wise for the Clippers, and you also get a good player in Eric Bledsoe. People were kind of freaking out, like, oh, it's too much for Eric Bledsoe. Like, they cleared up a lot of money with this.
Well,
also, the way Patrick Beverley's season ended with the Clippers.
That's something. The way he pushed Chris Paul,
yeah.
The Clippers organization has had a history of being not the classiest. They now feel like a classier organization, and that was kind of a bottom move by...
Yeah, that was not... It kind of felt like that was the end of the road.
Yeah, we said it when it happened. We're like, this is not playing well in the Clippers front office. Chris Paul was like, everybody had put their arms around Cliff.
Well, it was such a cheap shot, and thankfully he didn't get hurt, but if he had, what a devastating situation that would have been for him to do that. So, again, this is mostly a money move, but it also probably didn't help that how his season ended.
Symbolic.
Yeah.
We're not going to deal with that.
So, the Saints. I love me some New Orleans, but I don't know what's going on with the Saints this season. I do not feel good about
I'm selling my stock. By the way, next Monday, I think I'm making my first, I get two
amendments.
One of my amendments is I'm taking some wins from the Saints and I'm adding them to Carolina. Boom.
Well, Taysom got the start. Jameis also got some time in the Saints preseason opener. Neither had a great performance in the 17-14 loss to the Ravens. Wins, losses in the preseason, nobody cares. It doesn't mean anything. Obviously, they're not game planning and it's not the goal to win or lose these games. But neither one of them was particularly impressive. And Sean Payton wouldn't comment on if either player took a step forward in the quarterback competition.
I'm not making any comparisons with the quarterbacks right now. It doesn't matter who, really, with six turnovers, right? It's just going to be overshadowed, though, with those early mistakes. And, you know, despite how you play in the kicking game or defensively or even in snaps offensively, if that's what happens, it kind of just overshadows all of it, you know?
They had six total turnovers in the game. Ian Book also threw an interception, and all three running backs lost a fumble. Jameis Winston, 7 of 12, 96 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 77.1 passer rating.
You take Michael Thomas out of that offense, there is no vertical threat.
No, I mean, it's a big deal that he's not out there, but, they just did not. I don't want to overreact to it, but you'd like to see at least someone in this quarterback competition look like they had a significant edge in it. Now, I still think Jameis will end up being the starter, but that's got to be a little discouraging. You're replacing Drew Brees, okay, and you don't have Michael Thomas out there for the beginning of the season. So you're already up against it. It's going to be bumpy. But you'd like to see some kind of stability going into at least the preseason opener. I don't know. I don't feel good about it. I don't think your amendment is wrong. I'm not feeling good about the Saints after that performance. So Tim Tebow made his debut as a tight end with Jacksonville this weekend. Probably didn't go as well as he had hoped it would. He was only targeted once by his teammate Tavon Austin and jumped in front of him and got the catch. And he also went viral for his poor blocking attempts in the 23-13 loss. That was his target there. Not a great day for Tim Tebow.
Well, first of all, you had three different pieces of video. Here's another one. He's not a blocker. He puts his head down. He's a quarterback who was out of the sport for 8 years. He's not a block. When it first happened, my first criticism, you were here, Joy, I said, so you're going to ask a quarterback to put his finger down and block a rush end? Like, there's no way in the world. It's so disrespectful to the sport to think Tim Tebow could block because he goes to the weight room and gets buffed. Watch his blocking style. He's never done it his whole life. So, hey, go to camp and become a great blocker. He's not athletic enough to be a vertical threat. He's not going to be a pass-catching tight end. At most, he would be a good team guy and a blocking tight end. You tell me how many punters and kickers and quarterbacks in your lifetime in the NFL have left the sport for 8 years, come back, and been a great blocker. Gronk is a great blocker.
It's a little disrespect. Yeah, and Gronk is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's right.
One of the greatest tight ends to ever play the position.
Yeah, not changing positions.
It's a little disrespectful to the position of tight ends.
Yes.
The idea that he would be able to come in and do this. Wasn't great tape for him in this preseason opener. But look, at the end of the day, this was never really a talent decision.
No, it was a good dude decision.
It was a good dude, good old boy decision. Like, let's be serious. There's no other team in the league that is giving Tim Tebow this opportunity.
Right.
And it's fine. Like, you should take advantage of the relationships that you have. That's why you make relationships. If you're a good person and you have good encounters with people, yeah, they tend to give you opportunities. That's how it works. Now, you can say that he's extremely privileged, which he is, but he's only taking advantage of the opportunities, yeah, that someone else is giving him. He didn't go in there and hold them up and force them to give him this opportunity.
Right.
So, look, if he fails, he fails. He tried. I'm not against that. What I am against is the idea that nobody can criticize him for any reason whatsoever when we're all literally watching the same thing.
Can all the Tebow fans, they always complain. People talk a lot about Tebow. Well, when he succeeds briefly, it's all you can talk about. So when he ultimately fails, this will be the third time, then we acknowledge it's more of a ticket selling thing. Nobody's against one of the nicest guys that's ever played pro sports.
I'm all for this just because I enjoy chaos. According to Fox Bet, the odds for him to make the Jags roster, yes, plus 375, no, minus 500. Again, because this is not a talent thing, I don't know where I would put my money on this because I don't think he's good enough to make the roster, but I don't think that matters because if it was all a talent thing, he wouldn't be there in the first place because the worst tight end in the league last year is still better than Tim Tebow, a guy who's never played the position before. So I'm not really shocked at how this turned out.
Yeah. Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into your first year automatically. Go to discover.com/yes. You know, it's interesting. I wrote about this in my first book that life balance is overrated. In my life experience as somebody in their mid-50s, the happiest people I've ever met love one or two things deeply. Football and family, their job and their kids. That, you know, the ski bum slash poet slash barista slash part-time artist is lost. And, you know, Kobe Bryant was all in on family and all in on winning basketball games. And most of the products we consume, Steve Jobs at Apple, literally wore the same thing every day because he didn't want to clutter his mind with anything other than building the great iPhone or the great new project. But the media wants you to be a bon vivant. The media wants you to have multiple interests. In my life, the greatest agent I've ever had, the greatest boss I've ever had, the greatest quarterback, Tom Brady, the best basketball players are really focused. Because it's very hard to have 3,000 interests and be good at all of them. Michael Jordan couldn't be good at two. He's not really good at golf, despite what he tells you, and he wasn't any good at baseball, and that's Michael Jordan. But it's interesting that I think the media loves the part of Aaron Rodgers, which football coaches kind of roll their eyes at in the Peter King column today. You know, I was 50-50. I was going to retire. What would I do if I had time to retire? I'd go to Europe, probably traveling parts of Europe I haven't been to, historical stuff. And I think press eats that up. Oh, Tom Brady doesn't spend any time talking about that. Either did Peyton Manning, either did Kobe Bryant. It's not a criticism. It's a reality. When Andrew Luck got drafted, I had a general manager say to me, I worry that he's too smart for football. He doesn't need football. He can go run a company. And I was like, that's bad. He said, it's not bad, but he'll leave before you think he'll leave. He doesn't need it. It doesn't satisfy him at all levels. Even though that may make you a better person, per se, right? It doesn't necessarily make you a better quarterback, and that's what fans want, and that's what GMs want, and that's what everybody wants. So this is not a criticism of Aaron, but it is an interesting thing about Aaron is that he has multiple interests. I absolutely believe he could host Jeopardy and be totally satisfied. I think he could be an actor. I think he could travel. I think if he was in a band and had taken up music, he'd be a big star, and he'd be totally happy. It's just, I always think, work-life balance. I'm just telling you, the best, happiest people I've worked with usually have one or two things they're totally into. Starts with family, then it's their profession, and they don't really have time for, you know, a big social life or a third hobby. I mean, two of the smartest people, happiest people I've ever met, very successful people, they don't even have hobbies. They laugh at hobbies. Hobbies? What's time for hobbies? Like my family, my business. I don't have time for hobbies. I got to sleep. I sleep 6.5, 7 hours. I don't have time for hobbies. So when I read that, I think to myself, I think that plays well to media people. Oh, he wants to do this, and he's got that. He's got a life. Most of our great athletes don't, at least when they're playing. They just think about their sports and their family. That's what they think about. And most of those devices you have in your hand, those are not well-balanced people created. Those engineers have their head in a computer screen for 19 hours a day. They're not balanced. They're not poets and baristas. Artists doing crossword puzzles all day, hanging out, resting, sleeping, napping. That's not what they're doing. Sorry if that lands poorly for you, but that's not what they're doing. By the way, I always thought the criticism of Obama that was fair, he didn't love politics. Clinton loved it. Reagan loved it. They liked those late-night phone calls. He liked it. He liked it. He didn't like all the politics of politics. I always thought that was the one fair criticism. Hour 3. Next.